The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So there are many practices that are offered and taught in Buddhism. There are many approaches to how to practice in Buddhism. There's a lot of teachings, endless teachings in Buddhism. Boy, no shortage of teachings to be offered. And to find one's way through all this sometimes can be a challenge. But when I look back and see what the Buddha taught, that one of the things he's taught was that there was a teaching which was unique to the Buddha. So, you know, if the Buddha's going to say, this is what's unique to me, this is what's special, or special, I mean, the word isn't unique, but special, special teachings of the Buddhas. And it comes down to the teachings on the Four Noble Truths. That's what's special. And when I was practicing in Japan many years ago, they passed out a kind of a high school primer on Buddhism to the monks, Japanese. And they had, in this primer, they had the front page was a story of some old Chinese monk or something. I think he was living like in a tree, so it's kind of unusual. And so the governor of the province came and saw, and, you know, what's this Buddhism about? And he said, the guy in the tree said, the Four Noble Truths. And the governor said, what do you mean? This is a great world religion, you know. Any child can understand the Four Noble Truths, you know. That's all you have to say for yourself? And the guy in the tree says, any child can understand it, but an old governor might not understand how to live it. And so the governor bowed. But the idea of Four Noble Truths, which can be said quite succinctly, I think, where the focus, the question, that it's always good to keep in mind, the reference point, is to understand, are you suffering? Is the approach, is the understanding, is the teaching, is the technique that you're doing, is it help you become free of suffering? Does it help you release the clinging or the compulsion that you're living under, or does it not? And that's a kind of very pragmatic, experiential thing to explore. You know, where is it? Where is the drivenness? Where is the compulsion? Where is the clinging, the grasping? And is there some freedom or ease to be found in the release from the grasping, the release of the drivenness, the ending of it? So you can see that, you know, in the choices of practice you do, you can choose to, I mean, I've done this, you know, do a walking meditation and think that, you know, what I want to do is get concentrated. And so I'm trying to get concentrated, but I'm kind of driven, or I'm grasping or clinging to this idea of getting concentrated. I'm supposed to be the great walking meditator or something. But if I don't pay attention to the right technique of walking meditation, there's many techniques of walking, but rather I notice, how am I suffering as I try to do this? Then I'll notice the stress involved with this trying to get concentrated and trying to be the great walking meditator. And if I feel that suffering, feel the grasping, sometimes it's a much easier thing to get happy, to relax, to find peace, than it is to keep on that route of pushing and trying to get concentrated and huffing and puffing and hoping that somehow something will happen down the line. There's something about, some very important thing about the Four Noble Truths. So there's this particular thing about grasping and letting go of grasping, that there's this obvious benefit right here and now. There's this obvious way in which you can see the Dharma right there and then. The Buddha said the Dharma is meant to be seen here and now. And I think that simple movement, you see the Dharma. People have, you know, huge philosophical questions about Buddhism. And the issue might not be about what the right philosophy you find it. The issue that might be more interesting is how are you holding the philosophy? How are you holding the drive to understand the philosophy? There might be grasping and clinging there. And the Dharma can be found in that simple movement of letting go of the drivenness, the compulsion to understand. Understanding is still important. You still might pursue understanding. But the suffering was there in the compulsion. And so in a lot of situations in our life, there are worthwhile things to pursue, worthwhile things to do. But the Dharma maybe is not found in what you do as much as how you hold it, about the relationship you have to it. And so this very simple movement, is there some way in which, you know, you're grasping, clinging, driven, there's compulsion, obsession? Or can you drop it? Can you open up to it? Can you soften? Can you release what's going on? And so in Buddhism, sometimes we say that's the guideline. That's to find our path. Rather than finding the path of practice to some kind of complicated philosophy, complicated techniques of practice, the path unfolds in that simple investigation, right now, here and now, where's the stress, where's the suffering that we have, where's the disease, where's the discomfort, where's the freedom from it, where's the relaxing from it? And sometimes we focus a little more on the suffering side because we have to understand it, and sometimes we focus more on the freedom side and what gets released, what gets open, the openness that happens. But it's that movement between the two where the Dharma is found, movement between the two where we find the path. And it might seem not very profound. It might seem like it doesn't take you very far. It's just kind of simplistic. Any child can do this, right? Understand this. But to do this thoroughly and well, to really do the investigation to understand deeply in our life where the holding is, you know, a task of a lifetime. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do. And to slowly develop the, you know, and as this path, you know, evolves, tendency is that if you do it thoroughly or well, is it just keeps opening and opening and opening to deeper and deeper aspects of who we are and what's going on. And so phenomenal depth of freedom, phenomenal depth of understanding can open up in due time through the simple investigation, where is the suffering, where is the clinging, where is the release, where is the freedom from this. So in some ways it makes Buddhism pretty easy. In some ways it takes the Buddhism out of Buddhism, which is a good thing. So those are my thoughts for today. Hopefully they're useful. And if those thoughts cause suffering, you know, you have at least one idea what to do with that.